Of course, that didn't throw me at all. Okay. What do I think he wants to say? That passage starts by saying, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And that's certainly true for Tamsin and myself. When we were first married, we really knew what it was to be in need. I remember at the beginning of the month, I used to come home with a paycheck, and I used to deduct from the paycheck all the bills that had to be paid that month, and then we used to live on what was left. And several months, well, it never got to nothing, but I remember one month it was £3.60, and that had to last us for August, which is a five-week month. And then just to cap it all, as we were sitting there thinking, how are we going to cope with this, we got a phone call from Tamsin's sister to say, could she come and stay with us with her two children for a week? And we're thinking, okay, Lord. And we were quite young Christians at the time, and we had a lot of faith, a lot of faith. And we really thought, if we pray and go to bed, then when we get up in the morning, our cupboards will be full of food. Okay, and we honestly believed that that would happen. And then we got a phone call from Tamsin's brother, who was a pastor, and we sort of looked up to him. And, I looked down to him because he's taller, shorter than me, but... but we spiritually, we really looked to him, and we told him the situation, and we said, look, we've prayed, we're going to go to bed, we're going to wake up in the morning, and there's going to be a kitchen full of food, not a problem. And he said to us, don't be stupid, go down the bank machine with your credit card and take out a loan. And that really sort of deflated us, and it just took our faith away. And consequently, the cupboards were empty in the morning, you know. and I always remember that because we had so much faith and we let it be snatched away from us. And I still believe that if we hadn't spoken to him, the cupboards would have been full of food. Because God can do that. Our God can do that. As it turned out, he tested us a bit more because Carol and the kids turned up and we had nothing. And we didn't want to admit we had nothing, because she would have felt awful, you know, turning up and we had nothing. But she stayed for us for a week, and every day of that week, somebody turned up with some food. People from the church would bring a big bowl of soup or a big lasagna. And we hadn't told anybody what was happening. It was just they turned up, and all week we had plenty of food. It was a last-minute thing sometimes. We went out for the afternoon, and when we came back, there was something on the doorstep. But, you know, it didn't work out the way we originally thought the cupboards would be full of food. It was actually better because we didn't have to cook it. You know, it was all done for us. So we just had to wash it up and take the pans back. But, you know, Carol and the kids went away not knowing that we didn't have any money. It just occurred to me she might hear this tape. This was 1985, and we've never told her. But God just supplied all of our needs. Although we were desperately in need, you know, he was faithful, and he just supplied that for us. And, you know, he's still in that business today. And also, we know what it's like to live in plenty. Because we're in a quite nice situation at the moment. For the last few years, I've been running my own company, and money hasn't been an issue for us. And, you know, if you've never been in that situation, let me just tell you, it's just as hard as being in need. But, you know, God teaches you different things. And you will be in that situation. I felt God say earlier on that if you haven't known that situation, you will know that situation in this lifetime, if you just walk closely with him. That's all he asks. Just listen to him and do what he says, and you will know his provision for you. And it may be full cupboards in the morning, or it may be food when you need it, but he will provide it for you. He's promised, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Okay, so what's he been doing with us this week? Well, some of you know that we haven't had any central heating since July. Jaws drop. In July, our boiler went wrong, and we had one of these monthly schemes where you pay so much a month, and then they come out and magically fix everything for you for nothing. So we called them out, and after 4 weeks of trying, the guy sat in the kitchen and said, "I don't know what's wrong." And he didn't know what to do next. So I called out another plumber who also didn't know what to do, although he did do a lot of things to cut pipes out. He took the boiler apart, he flushed the heat exchanger, all sorts of things. And still it didn't work. So we called out another plumber and we went through all the same stuff. And by this time I'd cancelled my monthly contract, which I sort of regret now, but I was so annoyed with them not doing it. And there were a few other incidents about the way it was handled. So I cancelled it. I thought, I'll just get it sorted myself. And it's not been sorted. And so to date, we've had 5 plumbers, and none of them have been able to sort our central heating. Some say it's the boiler. Some say it's definitely not the boiler. Some say it's a blockage. Some say, no, there's no blockage. But none of them can fix it. We did have a period of about 3 months when it worked fine, because we laid hands on the boiler and prayed, and it worked. And it worked for 3 months and then stopped again with exactly the same fault. We had another plumber last week. We'd sort of got it half working. The boiler was heating up, cooling down, heating up, cooling down, but it was sort of sending slugs of hot water around the system, and it was sort of a bit warm. But then we had a plumber in last Saturday, and when he went, none of it worked at all. The hot water's not working either, and the heating's not working. And fortunately, we've got a gas fire, and we've got some big coats. It always seems to be when the weather cools down, the heating gets worse. But the saga continued, and we've had no heating this week. It was a bit chilly on Thursday, wasn't it? We had the gas fire on Thursday at the house group. Anyway, where did I get to in this? I'm all week I've been saying to God, what do you want me to speak about on Sunday? What do you want me to speak out on Sunday? And yesterday, I was at the end of my tether with a central heating, and I thought, I'm going to look at it myself. Now, I'm no good at plumbing. I once installed a central heating system and spent a large portion of my life trying to stop the leaks and repair the damage afterwards. I can do electrics, because I always say, with electricity, you can only kill yourself. You can't damage anything. You know, watermarks and things. But I really don't like plumbing. But I got to the point where I thought, I'm going to have to do something. So I devised a plan. And all day yesterday, starting from about 7:30 in the morning, I worked on my plan. And I got absolutely nowhere. And about 8:00 at night, I sat down really depressed because I'd wasted a whole day achieving nothing. So I sat and watched a film. And I'd put some cleaning stuff in the system, and it wasn't doing anything. It was just, everything was freezing cold. The boiler wouldn't even come on. It would just heat up to about 50, turn off again. And so I sat down and watched a film. And I'm still thinking, what am I going to speak on tomorrow? I've wasted all this time on a heating system, and I've got nothing to speak on. And while I was watching this film, I just felt God saying, just trust me. So we watched the film, Tamsin went off to bed, and then I sat down with my Bible. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you, but where do we go? And while I was reading my Bible, the boiler started gurgling. Okay, there's these quiet gurgles to start with. And then it turned into loud clanking. I'm thinking, oh, no, what have I done? I put this really strong descaler in the system. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to eat through all the joints. It's going to shake itself to bits. It's really loud. This is about 12:30 at night now. This loud clanking. Everybody else has gone to bed. And I think, I've got to stay up with it. I tried turning the heat down so it didn't clank as much, you know, so it didn't wake people up. So I was up till about 2:00 in the morning playing with this thing, trying to stop it clanking. And then all of a sudden, the temperature just went to 40 degrees on the boiler and stayed there. And I thought, well, this is interesting, because we've been trying to get it to stay at temperature for ages. Well, since July. And I thought, if it's sticking at 40, let's just turn it up a little bit, 50. And it sat there. Turned it up a bit, 60. And it sat there. Thought, I'm not going to go any higher than this. Clanking stopped. And it just sat there. It was all working. And it's getting on to about 1:30 now. And I thought, well, I've got to sit with it for a while. If it starts clanking again, you know, once I've gone to bed, it's going to wake everybody up. But it didn't. 1.5 hours, it just sat there. And in the end, I went off to bed. And we woke up this morning sweltering. And all the upstairs radiators are working. The hot water's working. The boiler's just sat there working fine. And I've got 3 radiators downstairs which don't work. Freezing cold. Like icy cold. Nothing in them at all. So I just asked God, what's this about? And he said, well, perhaps there's some air in the system. So I thought, okay, I'll put a hose pipe on the bottom of the radiator, and while the system's all working, I'll suck some water out, see if I can pull the air through. Okay, and on one radiator that worked fine, and on the other two, it didn't. So as we stand here now, those 2 radiators are still freezing cold, and the rest of the house is sweltering. Okay, so why am I telling you all this? Because God actually really spoke to me for all this. First of all, about trusting him and not relying on other people to fix things that he's given us. So it's my central heating system. He's given it to me. And the first thing I did when it went wrong was call somebody outside to come and help, which I'd like to think most of us would. I'm not all on my own there. But he was really talking to me about, you know, when we've got a problem, what do we do with it? Do we rush off and ask for help from someone else? Or do we try and sort it out ourselves? Because he knows all the answers. He's got all the solutions. He can provide all our needs. Yet so often, you know, oh, you know, I've got this problem. Think of a problem. What do we have? Low self-esteem. Taught on that a couple of weeks ago, so it shouldn't hurt anybody there. Do we go and get ministry from somebody else because we've got low self-esteem? Is that our first thing? We've got a problem, rush off and see somebody. Or do we sort of sit and take it to God because he knows all the answers? And he might say, you need to go and get ministry. But we need to go to him first rather than rushing off and expecting somebody else to fix the problem for us. Okay, so that was the first thing he said to me. The second thing was, you can't fix everything at the same time. You can't please everyone all the time. Sometimes you can't please anybody half the time. But the way this system has sort of half sprung into life just said to me, you know, some things need a lot more attention than others. Some things you can just ask God about. He'll give you a key, unlocks it, fixed. Nice and simple. I love that. But there are some things which take a bit longer, like this cold radiator that I had, freezing cold, and it needed some more attention before it became warm. It needed to extract something else that shouldn't have been there before it worked. So we can't sort of, as much faith as we've got, we can't ask God to fix everything at the same time. Well, you know, we can ask, but we shouldn't expect him to, because I don't think we could cope with it, to be honest. If we've got a lot of things wrong, you know, pick the worst one. In our case, you know, the boiler wouldn't work at all. There was no hot water. Concentrate, focus on one area and just ask him to help us with that. And then other things become apparent. I mean, before we fixed the boiler, all the radiators were cold. So I had no idea that there was another problem in one of the radiators. And until you fix the big things, you don't see the small things. So he was sort of saying that it's an ongoing process. We just need to keep close to him. And we're always going to have problems. He never promised an easy ride. There's always going to be something there. But he has the answer to everything. And he can provide all our needs. So if we've got problems, let's focus on the big problem first and ask him to fix that. And then just move on. And he says, doesn't he, that, you know, he's changing us from glory to glory. And we're never going to be completely fixed until we're with him. But one step at a time, we can get closer and closer. Okay. Just thinking, there were so many things that he sort of downloaded to me, and I'm trying to remember them all. He gave Tamsin this word about everything we have being within us. Everything we need is within us. And it's very similar to what Margaret was saying about the egg and the treasure inside. And as much as I hate plumbing, he's showing me that with him, as the scripture says, I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Even though it's a thing I hate, he wanted me to pick up that gauntlet, as it were, and trust him in it. And he's shown me each step, really, how to move forward. And for all of us, you know, it might be that you're faced with something that you don't want to face, that you don't feel capable of facing. But with him, we can do all things. And as low as you may put yourself in the scale of I can do it, with him you can do it. And it's a matter of trust and faith and quite often perseverance. Again, with the central heating system, you know, we've persevered to the point where we were saying, oh, we'll just get new boilers, new radiators, new pipes, and then it will work. You know, but God doesn't want to do that with us. He doesn't want to sort of say, you know, you're actually no good at what you're doing. I'm going to replace you with somebody else. He doesn't work like that. You know, he wants to fix us, if you like. He wants to move us into who he wants us to be. So he's gentle, and sometimes it takes time. I'm going to clarify that a little bit. He's usually gentle. When he comes across someone like me who's stubborn and slow to move, the gentleness sort of gets less and less and less. And a good example of that was when I was saved, when I first came to know him, I really wanted to speak in tongues. And I'm quite inhibited and self-conscious. And to speak in tongues, you've actually got to speak out. And it's something I wasn't very good at doing in front of other people. And when I was prayed for, to speak in tongues, I just wouldn't make a sound because I felt so self-conscious. I just couldn't bring myself. Everybody else was sort of around me praying in tongues, and I'm thinking, sounds really weird, and they're just trying to encourage me, just open your mouth and make a noise. And I just couldn't do it because I was so inhibited. But I really wanted to speak in tongues, and I was really asking God to help me to speak in tongues, even though I was not doing what I should have been doing and speaking out in the first place. And as I was there being prayed for, this is how gentle and kind he is to me. And don't get me wrong, it's because I was asking him to help me, okay? But I wasn't doing what he was telling me. But I was still asking for him to help me. I began to feel a sensation in my legs, like a tightening, almost like there were shackles. You know, like Jubilee clips where you turn a screwdriver and they tighten up. Well, it was like having one around each leg and they were being tightened up and tightened up and tightened up and tightened up. And it was so painful. It got so painful that in the end I had to scream out because it hurt so much. And as I let out a yell, it turned into tongues. And the pain immediately went. So I just wanted to clarify that he's a gentle God and he loves us. But if you're like me and you're very stubborn and you ask him to do something but you don't do what he says, you know, he knows your heart. And if he knows that you really want to do it, he will help. And you know, there were no lasting effects. There was no, the pain just went completely. So it wasn't like he tortured me or anything. It was just to get over my stubbornness. And that sort of thing has happened to me several times since. And I'm learning. I'm learning to behave myself quicker. Okay. So the other thing he taught me about this system, he spoke to me about through this system, was the fact that all the radiators are linked together. Okay, so you would expect that when you push hot water into one, it goes around all of them and heats them all up. And the perfect picture of the... Actually, Leon shared last week, didn't he, about the body all moving as one. And in an ideal world, you know, we all learn what God teaches us and we all move together in unity. But actually, in an imperfect world, some of us are going to move quickly and some of us are going to move slowly. And the problem my boiler had was it would come on at 30 degrees, it would rush up to 60 degrees, and then it would turn off. And it would come all the way back down to 30 degrees before it would switch back on. And then it would rush up to 60 degrees. And then it would turn off. And while it was doing this, the radiators were sitting there cold. So if you have somebody at the front leading worship or teaching or leading the church, and they're all excited and bubbly and full of God and run off at a speed, you're going to get up to 60 degrees before everybody else has even reached 20 and get burnt out and switch off. And come back down. Does this make sense? Or am I rambling to myself? Keep going. But all the time, the boiler was rushing ahead. The radiators weren't doing anything. It was rushing ahead, and then it had to come back. And it was rushing ahead, and it had to come back. And eventually, I guess the boiler just would have worn out, and the radiators were doing nothing. But when it works properly, what happens is the boiler starts to heat the water, and it circulates the water around all the radiators. And the whole system comes up slowly and gently, so everything is all at the same temperature. And because it's all at the same temperature, the water coming back into the boiler is hot, as well as the water going out of it. I explain this a bit better. When it's not working, you've got hot water going out of a boiler and you've got cold water coming in. And if you think of that in spiritual terms, if you're on fire for God and you're giving out hot water, and you're being hit with cold water, it's just going to deflate you. It's going to discourage you, isn't it? And I think that my poor little boiler, it was giving out all this hot water and getting all this cold water in and thinking, oh, it's not working, I'll give up. But if you've got hot water coming back in, when it's all working properly, when you bring the level up slowly, you're giving out hot water and you've got hot water coming back in, it's like encouragement. This is working. It's feeding me back hot water, and you can raise the temperature another degree, and then the water coming back is another degree, and then you can go another degree. So instead of rushing ahead and trying to pull people with you, you can go slowly and bring people with you, and in return you get all that encouragement of the hot water flowing back. Are you with me? For someone who hates plumbing, it's all about water this morning, but... But you know, when that happens, when we all move together in unity, when we all catch the vision of what God wants to do, and we just move gently and slowly at His time, at His speed, then we can all encourage each other. We can all warm each other up. You know, eventually we can all be on fire. But nobody gets left behind. We all move together. We can all encourage each other, and the system operates in unity. And the house warms up, you know, or in spiritual terms, you know, we can really start reaching people outside the church because they'll see something special going on inside the church. Okay. Well, I still have two radiators which are freezing cold. So what's God saying about that? Well, You could be cynical, couldn't you? You could say, oh, well, you're always going to get a cold brain dead. Just leave it behind. The rest is working. There's always going to be somebody who doesn't catch the vision. Yeah. But actually, I'm going to go home and work on them. And I think that's what God wants to do with us. If we haven't caught part of his vision, he's not going to leave us to one side and say, oh, well, the rest of them have got it. Don't worry about that person. You know, nobody's going to get left behind. Unless you want to be. You know, if your heart is to follow God, then he's gentle and he'll pull you forward. And if you're feeling sort of left out, left behind, you haven't quite got what everybody else has got, you can't catch the excitement of what's going on and things like that, just keep asking God, because he looks at the heart and he wants everybody to be excited about what he's doing. Because he's doing it. It's not us. Don't look at us and say, they've got it all together. Most of you know I haven't. You know, don't look at us and say, well, they're doing great things. They're doing this, they're doing that. I'm not part of that. I can't do that. Because we're all nothing without him. And I mean, I stand here as an example of somebody who can't speak in public meetings. And, you know, I don't know how to lead a church. Never done it before. Never had any training. On-the-job training, this is. And if God's brought you here, he wants you here. He's got a job for you here. He says, you pull a piece of pipe out of the central heating system. Any piece of pipe. You know, you might be a boiler. You might be a radiator. You might be a valve. You might be a humble little joint holding two straight bits of pipe together. But if you take any of those pieces out of the central heating system, there's a really big mess coming. Yeah? So however you're feeling this morning, if you're a boiler on fire for God, or if you're a little straight coupling with cold water running through you, God's put you in that system, and without you, the system breaks. And he doesn't want the system to break. Okay? So, know what you do with that. If you're feeling like that, we'd love to pray for you. If you're a boiler on fire and nobody's following, you know, I would love to pray for you, because you need to slow down a bit. And we all just need to work together at his pace and flow the way he wants us to flow. It doesn't work if you push the water backwards through the system. It just breaks things. I'm learning, you see. You all learn through experience, don't you? When you do things and they don't work, don't do them again. But, you know, when the heating system's working, when it's all running nicely in time and in unity, you don't notice it, do you? Nobody came in this morning and said, oh, that boiler's working well this morning. Or those radiators are doing a good job this morning. It's like the sound system. When it's working fine, you shouldn't even know it's there. You know, I guess part of my heart is that this church works so well in what God has for it that people don't see us, because they just see God. When you come in, you feel the heat. You don't immediately think, oh, there's a good boiler working there. It's just nice and warm. And wouldn't it be great if people would just come in and feel the presence of God? And all the little things that we do wrong and all the little things that we do right are irrelevant, because they just come in and meet with God. And, you know, if we can just catch hold of that and just work as he wants us to work, all we have to do is, it comes back to the same old teaching that he's been drumming into me for the last year. Listen to what he's saying and do it. And take your eyes off everything else. Because he knows everything, and if something needs doing, he'll tell us it needs doing. And then we can just sort of blend into the background. And people can be looking at him and focused on him. I think I'm going to stop there. then we've got time for tea and coffee. But I just encourage you to look to him. And, you know, people are around. If you struggle with anything, don't be afraid to share it with somebody you trust, somebody you can help. But, you know, seek him first and see what he says. You know, I've had 5 plumbers and none of them know how to fix my system. Yet last night while I was watching a film and reading the Bible, God fixed it. it's going to be working when I get home. I know it is. I read tomorrow's word for the day this morning. And it's all about doubt and how easy it is to accept doubt and how hard it is to live by faith. We so easily take the negative on board. As a spoiler, I've spoiled it for you now. Those of you who don't get it, you know, it's worth reading tomorrow. Okay. Can we just pray together? Father, we just want to thank you that you are our God, you're our Father, and you really love us. And although things aren't easy for us, Father, you work everything together for the good of those who love you. And we just thank you for the trials that you put us through. We thank you for the adversity that we face, because we know that in that you want to teach us something. Because if you weren't teaching us, Father, you wouldn't let it happen. And we just want to thank you that you have your hand on every one of us. And you have a plan for every one of us. And Father, we just want to walk with you. We want to walk in your plan. And we just ask that you would help us to do that. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes on you and take our eyes off everything else. Help us to have the faith that you will provide for us, that you will show us what we need to be doing. And you'll just give us that knowledge that you will provide everything we need for that journey. And Father, just keep us aware of those around us, that we don't rush off ahead, that we don't get left behind. Father, we just want to stay together as a body in unity, in your love and in your purpose. I just pray that would be our only desire, just to stay in time with you. And Father, I pray that as we do that, you would really use us in this place, that your kingdom would come in power in this place. Father, that people would come in or not and meet with you because of what you're doing through us here. We really just want to be close to you, and we want others to be close to you. Father, it doesn't matter how we look on the outside. It matters how gooey we are on the inside, like that cream egg. Full of you, full of treasure. Father, that when we meet people, it's just you that they see bubbling out of us. And only you can do that in our lives as we yield to you. Father, when people look at us, let them see you. Let them see Jesus. Let them see the way to salvation. And help us, Father, just to be willing to fade into the background so that you can be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen.